Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, John 1 says that your Son came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. And so, Father, we pray that as we encounter your Son today and in the coming weeks, that we would receive him, that we would believe in him, and that we would come to embrace life as one of your beloved children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 4 years ago, my wife Emily and I, we experienced one of the hardest things that we've had to go through as a parent. Now, we were first-time parents. Our eldest daughter, Jermaine, who was dancing with me before, she was 8 months old. Now, for most of this particular day, she was really just not being herself. And she was just lethargic. She was just not really concentrating. Do we need to turn this mic down, or is this okay? She was just really not being herself. She was burning up with a fever. And then all of a sudden we noticed that she seemed to be having difficulty breathing, and her skin started turning purple, and we were like freaking out. I got off the phone from nurse on call and called 000, and then Emily picked her up, and then as that was happening, suddenly Jermaine stopped breathing. She started foaming at the mouth, and she had was like seizures and things, and she still wasn't breathing. And for that moment, I remember thinking to myself, is our daughter going to die in our arms? After a few minutes, she started breathing again. The ambulance arrived and they were very calm, but they took Jermaine and Emily straight to hospital. And then I was left trying to madly pack a couple of things into some bags, and then I drove after them. It was a 30-minute drive to the hospital. And then I had to park. And I remember the whole trip praying, God, please save her. God, please save her. Please save my little girl. And then not knowing for more than 40 minutes, that was really hard. I was by myself. I had no idea. Now, after parking the car, I got out and I was running across the car park. I got to the emergency department, went and spoke to the triage nurse. Now, Jermaine, I assume, was somewhere in there receiving treatment. And so I spoke to this nurse and she says, oh yes, your daughter, just follow the red line and she's in the resuscitation bay. And I'm thinking, like, you can imagine what I was thinking. I'm like, oh my gosh, I still have no idea if my daughter is alive. Well, by God's grace, she did pull through. After 3 days, she was well enough to come back home. We later found out that Jermaine had experienced what's called a febrile convulsion, which apparently is reasonably common in babies and is usually not life-threatening. But for us first-time parents who had no idea what a febrile convulsion was, like, that was terrifying to experience. Like, the peril felt very real. Like, is our girl going to be okay? Are the doctors, are they going to be able to actually help her? And for me, journeying by myself for 40 minutes, is my daughter even alive right now? In our passage today, we meet a parent with a sick child. This child is dying of a fever. Now the family, they've got the money, but it seems that nothing is working. His son is getting worse, not better. And the father, he hears that there is a man who's arrived in a nearby town who's got miraculous healing powers. Now he's out of options. And so he makes that really hard decision to leave his son's bedside to make one last dish effort to help him. And as he trekked by himself for 40 kilometres from Capernaum to Cana, I wonder what was going through his mind. Is my son going to be okay? Is this Jesus guy going to be able to actually help him? And as he traveled by himself, is my son even alive right now? John 4:47, when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. And Jesus responds, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. Now, is it just me, or does Jesus' response to this man seem kind of harsh? Perhaps even maybe a little bit mean? I mean, if you were in this man's position and Jesus said that to you, how would you feel? And yet John, who all throughout his gospel, he's incredibly deliberate and considered about what he includes, what words he uses in his gospel, he included verse 48. Why? Like, the narrative seems to make sense even if you skip it. Why is that there? And out of all of the signs and miracles that Jesus performed in his ministry, why did John choose this particular one to include as one of his signs for us to learn about? Well, as I've been slowly getting to know you all, before we look at this passage, I do want to acknowledge that I suspect this story feels very real for some of us. Some of you have had loved ones who have been in need of help, in need of healing. You know, daughters, sons, mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters, close friends. The founder of Alpha, Nicky Gumbel, was reflecting on this passage and he said, there are times in our lives when we are desperate for healing, either for others or for ourselves. In this life, our prayers for healing will not always be answered. Unanswered prayer can be a difficult and painful thing to wrestle with. You know, maybe you prayed for healing and that prayer was not answered. The year Emily and I got married, Emily's mother was dying of cancer, and we prayed for healing. Many of us prayed for healing, and that prayer was not answered. It's tough, it's painful. And so even though the son in our passage today is healed, I do want to acknowledge that there is a very real grief that many of us are walking through. And I don't want to minimize that grief, because even though Jesus does heal today, and he does heal today, there are those of us who have been bereaved. There are those of us who are living with people who are suffering, and it's tough. Well, I've been wrestling with these verses of John, trying to work out how does this all fit into the big picture, and it has been amazing to see how John has been able to work each of these passages in for his big purpose in the gospel. Megan brought this to our attention last week. I want to repeat it again because it's important. What is John's gospel all about? Well, he writes for us, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Megan shared last week that these miraculous signs that we find in John, they're not just miracles for the sake of miracles. They are included here to do what John has told us to do. They are here to show us who Jesus is. See, these signs are here to show us that Jesus is the Messiah and to help us to put our trust, our reliance, our belief in him. And for John, in that last part of this verse 31, when he talks about when we believe that we may have life in his name, So he's talking about a bigger vision than simply just getting into heaven when we die. Actually, he's talking about having life in his name. So that's about the here and now as well. I mean, Jesus, in chapter 10, he promised that I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So Jesus, he invites us into a life that is shaped by faith and reliance on him. And so these signs are here so that we can put our trust and faith in Jesus. But more than that, they're also here so we can confidently embrace a life with him here and now. But if I'm honest, it can be pretty hard. Like, I think part of us we just wish that we could be part of that experience to sort of see these miracles for ourselves. Like, it's not so much that we won't believe without them, but just I just feel like my faith would be more confident maybe if I could just really be there and see these miracles for myself. You know, one of my Christian friends once said to me, like, I can understand all the gospel facts in my head. I just wish I could feel it in my heart. I just wish I could feel it. What does belief in Jesus look like when we don't experience a sign? What does it look like when we can't see him? Remarkably, the verse just before these two in John's gospel, he includes this little encounter with Thomas. And he says to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. See, how do we believe in Jesus even if we don't see him? Even if we can't see him? I mean, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that we live by faith, not by sight. See, this walking by faith, this living by faith is the default setting for us until Christ returns. And so how do we do that? What does it look like to live by faith? Well, John 4 is a wonderful passage because it gives us an example. This man's encounter with Jesus shows us what it looks like to live by faith. So to give you a bit of an idea about where we're heading for the rest of this, just so you don't get lost, from this passage we get three clues about what does it look like for us today to live by faith. Well, the first thing is we are seeing the signs as signs. I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. Taking Jesus at his word, and then seeing life from the perspective of faith. So that's where we're heading. Let's dive into this verse 1. So first, living by faith is seeing the signs as signs. Now before our passage today, we've got an important verse which gives us some backstory. Now this is pretty small, but I'm just going to read the top one. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. And then our passage begins with the encounter that we saw before. As Jesus arrives in Cana, he is greeted and welcomed by the community. And John tells us that these people who greeted Jesus, they had seen him back in Jerusalem over the Passover festival. Now, what did they actually see him doing back there? Well, thankfully, a couple of chapters earlier, John tells us, while Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But then beneath the surface, Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. See, when Jesus arrives back in Galilee now, he seems to be welcomed by the people. But these people, they are welcoming him, and their attitude to Jesus was conditioned by what they'd seen him do in Jerusalem. See, they knew him as a miracle worker, and Jesus knew what was in their hearts. As Jesus enters Cana, he again sees this faith that seems to be dependent on these miracles. And the signs all throughout John's gospel, they all point to a deeper meaning beyond the signs themselves. See, and so John wants us to read these signs, these miracles, as signs. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but now you can. The purpose of a sign in everyday life, all the signs around us, they exist to point to something else. Signs, the point of a sign is to point to something else, which is then why signs like these ones are particularly useless. Sign not in use. This sign has sharp edges. Don't touch the edge of this sign. I mean, I have a strange sense of humour, so I find this kind of stuff quite funny. But they're pointless, aren't they? Because they don't point to anything, they just point to themselves. It's like a sign that's saying, this is me. And that's not what signs are supposed to do. They are supposed to represent something else. They're supposed to point towards something else. Like we've got an exit sign there and there and there. Everyone gets an exit sign. They're signs that point to a real life exit that you can walk through. You know, warning signs are there to alert us and point to an actual danger or an actual problem. And navigation signs, they point to an actual place where you can actually go. And so then it's a problem if we look at signs without looking at what they signify, okay? All signs signify something else. I mean, imagine that you've taken your big trip of a lifetime to Paris, and then you're making your way to the Eiffel Tower, and you see this sign that says it's the Eiffel Tower just around the corner. Maybe you can even see the tower, but then you focus all your attention and you just stay and have selfies with the sign. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Like, see, the sign, it signifies that the tower is right next to you. It would be a real tragedy to be so caught up in the sign that we miss what it's pointing to. And yet this is what Jesus encountered as he arrived in Galilee. See, these miraculous signs that Jesus is performing, they are there to point us to him, to the real thing, Jesus himself. They are there to show us who Jesus is and lead us to faith in him. But as Jesus entered Galilee, he sees a faith that is so focused on the miracles that they are missing the real thing, that these signs are pointing to him. And it's not just here either. In a couple of weeks, we're going to look at the feeding of the 5,000, and straight afterwards, Jesus does this miraculous feeding, and then the crowd, they start following after him. Why are they following him? He says, "Very truly I tell you," to the crowd, "you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." You see, they were so focused on the miracles itself that they failed to see it for a sign. It was a sign. It was a sign that pointed to the real thing, Jesus. And so in our passage, even though it seems a little harsh, here's the response that Jesus gave. So he arrives in Cana, and these people, they're looking for a miracle. They're looking for something to dazzle them. And then in steps a man, poor timing, looking and asking for a healing. And Jesus, he's possibly thinking like, oh, here we go, classic Galileans. And so he turns to the crowd and says, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." Now, what's interesting about this verse is, and it's a bit hidden in the English, but this is a plural verse, so all the yous are you guys, or y'all, I think people might say in America, yous, whatever it is. So it's something more like, unless you all see signs and wonders, you will all never believe in me. Okay, so this is, I do like the way that the Message Bible kind of puts this verse, unless you people are dazzled by a miracle, you refuse to believe. I think that's the kind of the sense that we're supposed to get from this. Jesus' response here, it's not really about the man's dying son. It's more about the collective attitude that he has been greeted with and he's been welcomed with. See, these people, they were seeking the spectacular without seeing the Saviour. They were seeing the signs without seeing what they signified. But Jesus, all throughout the Gospels, not just John, but all of them, he's not looking for an audience who will say like, "Woo, yeah, isn't that awesome," and cheer for him. He is looking for people who want to know him for who he is, the Son of God who came to save. And so for us, rather than longing that we could see and experience these signs for ourselves, living by faith is seeing these signs as signs. See, John wants us to see these signs as signs that point us to trusting Jesus, to being captivated by him, to being delighting in him. And so if you are someone who believes in Jesus, then that's exactly where John wants you to be. That's exactly where Jesus wants you to be. Rather than stopping at the signs, let us delight in our Saviour that these signs point to. Living by faith is seeing these signs as signs. Living by faith is also taking Jesus at his word. Now, amongst this crowd of people who are all wanting to be dazzled by the spectacular, we have a royal official who is humbly, earnestly begging with Jesus for him to come and heal his dying child. The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Did you notice how the man responds in verse 50? The man took Jesus at his word and departed. You see, Jesus gives this man no sign. He gives him no miracle that he can see. The officer, this guy has nothing to go on but Jesus' bare word. But that is enough. And he rises in faith. He takes Jesus at his word. You see, unlike the Galileans around him, he isn't interested in signs and wonders. The man simply accepts Jesus' word to him and departs. He walks home by himself, with no physical idea whether his son is even still alive. And yet, because he believed Jesus, verse 50 in the Greek literally says, the man believed the word Jesus said to him. He goes in confidence. Living like Jesus' word to him is true, because it is. Living by faith is taking Jesus at his word. The start of Hebrews chapter 11 describes faith as being confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You know, it's not a leap in the dark. It's a I'm choosing to trust what you have said to me because I find you to be trustworthy. And so we can have confidence in that, even if we do not see exactly what that is going to mean. You see, it's saying, I believe what Jesus says, and I'm going to live like it's true. And even if I can't see it now, even if I can't see it, his words are enough for me. And of course, that's not to say that God won't answer our big God-sized prayers for healing or deliverance in other ways, because he can and he does. But like this royal official, living by faith means that Jesus' promises to you and me are enough to build our life on. As we continue reflecting on John as we lead up to Easter, take note of these promises to us. Take note of them. Take note of his love and build our lives upon those things. As we sung before in the bridge of Build My Life, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. See, this is living by faith, taking Jesus at his word. Even if we don't see or understand what God is doing, we trust his word to us and build our lives upon that firm foundation. And finally, living by faith looks like seeing a life from the perspective of faith. Let's have a look at the end of this passage together. While he, that's the royal official, while he was still on his way back to Capernaum, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. When we live by faith, we understand what we see and experience through that lens of faith. I'm not sure if you notice this, but there's two things going on in this verse. There's two kind of stories that are moving. So on the one hand, we've got the father. He's on his way home from Cana. He's by himself, and he's walking, believing by faith that his son will live because he took Jesus at his word. And then at the same time, we've got the royal or the official servants back at Capernaum, back at their home. They see the son makes a recovery, perhaps with seemingly nothing supernatural taking place. I mean, Jesus didn't visit, and so perhaps in their eyes, they're like, "Well, he just got better. Isn't that awesome?" And so then, seeing that he's recovered, he's better, they send some of their servants to catch up with the master and to tell him this wonderful news. Maybe they could even be saying, like, "You don't actually need to get Jesus now. He's fine." See, from, and then they meet in the middle. What happens when they meet? See, from the servant's perspective, the son's recovery was welcome, but not miraculous. But from the father's perspective, his son got better at the exact time that Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." Walking by faith, living by faith, he saw his life from a totally new perspective. Where others simply saw a son getting better, he could see the powerful healing hand of God at work in his child. The father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. Maybe the reason why some of us don't experience the miraculous in our everyday life is because we need to learn to see everyday life from the perspective of faith. A perspective where we take Jesus at his word and are expecting to see his hand in everything. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. He wrote, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." See, living by faith. When we watch nature documentaries, while some may see that what we learn about is mindless natural processes and adaption and things like that, through the perspective of faith, we can marvel at God's creative handiwork. When we take a Panadol for a headache or slap on a Band-Aid for a paper cut, while the doctors may see our body going through its natural healing abilities and recovery, through the perspective of faith, we can be captivated by a God who consistently works to heal us, even in the little things. When we pray for those who are sick, while some may see this as just wishful thinking and nothing more, through the perspective of faith, we know that we are loved by a God whose compassion is as deep as the cross and is as powerful as the resurrection, and so we pray. I'm thankful that John included this sign in his gospel for us to read. He's given us a powerful picture of what it looks like to live by faith, seeing these signs, these miracles of Jesus, as signs that point us to the real thing, to Jesus himself. He invites us to believe and trust in him. Living by faith is taking Jesus at his word. Even if we can't see what that future holds, we know who holds the future. Living by faith is seeing life from that perspective of faith. By God's grace, I hope that we can embrace this as we move forward together. Let me pray for us. Gracious Lord, we thank you for John and for his wonderful account of Jesus' life. I pray that each of us here would encounter Jesus in these pages, and that by your Spirit, that we would believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. And I pray that we would learn to live our lives in him. Father, give us wisdom to see his signs and be pointed to him. Give us the trust to take Jesus at his word, even when we don't see or understand. And give us the eyes of faith so that we may see you at work in all of our lives. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.